We have a few short readings from John's Gospel this morning as we start a new series in John's Gospel. We'll start with this one, a short reading from John chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. The next day, Jesus was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. What do you want? Or what are you looking for? That's the first question that Jesus asks in John's Gospel. It's the first question that he asks to these his very first disciples. And it's a very big question for all of us as his church, and for each and every one of us as followers of Jesus. What do we want? What are we looking for? And I'll be honest, I'm very unsure myself how I would answer that question. But it seems like an excellent place to start in exploring John's Gospel, as I'm starting to do. So this is the first in a series of sermons based around some big questions that Jesus asks in John's Gospel. And this first one, I think it is a big one, a big question. What is it you're looking for? What do you want? It can seem, first time when you read this through, it might not seem to be a very important question at all. First reading, we might just see it's a very simple scene. A sunny day in Bethany, across the Jordan River, where John has been baptizing, rather. John the Baptist points two of his disciples in Jesus' direction. They start following Jesus. And here, Jesus just turns around and says, "What do you want?" We could just read it like that, couldn't we? "What do you want?" They don't answer, but they ask him a question. "Where are you staying?" And they go and see where he's staying. In a way, it seems quite inconsequential at first. It could just be, "What are you looking for? What do you want? Where are you staying?" But actually, this is part of the genius of the way John writes his gospel. Those very simple questions, when you look at them again, and you start to look at them even more, there is so much depth there. This is really incredibly deep stuff when you really start to look at it. Because as you get to know that the book as a whole, both of these questions turn out to be huge questions. It doesn't seem that way, especially, look at that second question there that they ask back. "Where are you staying?" And they go and see where he's staying. It doesn't seem a very big question. But there's a very important word here that's used actually 3 times here. "Where are you staying?" they say. And they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day. That's again the same word. They spent that day with him. And it's this word, the Greek word is meneion. And it turns out to be a really important word through John's Gospel. The first time it's used is a few verses earlier than this, where John the Baptist says that he saw the Spirit come down and remain on Jesus. The Spirit came down and remained on Jesus. And this is the same word, to stay, to remain, to abide, to dwell, to stay, to endure. And much later, Jesus says, "If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. My words remain in you. So it doesn't seem much of a question at first, where are you staying? But it turns out it goes incredibly deep. And if you want to really plumb the depths of the answer is Jesus dwells, Jesus stays in the bosom of the Father. Jesus is in the closest possible relationship with God the Father. That's where Jesus is staying.
And actually, in this scene,
these first disciples, they go and they
have a proper look.
And they do stay with him on that day. And that is
very significant.
This simple little scene with Jesus meeting these first disciples, it's
the beginning of the church in many ways.
Because this is where a community first starts to gather around Jesus, trying to follow him, asking questions, seeking to follow him, and beginning to learn from him. And those dynamics, that's what makes up a church, a community gathering around Jesus. What are we going to do with Jesus? Asking each other questions, going deeper. And Jesus' first big question to challenge them is, what do you want? What are you looking for? And this is the word, as I said, it's the word for searching for or seeking or trying to do something. What are you seeking? Are you serious about following me and being my disciple? Or are you just looking for something more temporary? In a way, there's no real answer given to this question for now. It's a big question that kind of looms over above as we start to go through John's Gospel, as we start to see who Jesus is, and as we're drawn in to the mystery surrounding him, and drawn into everything that John wants to tell us and show us so that we can believe. If you remember, that's why John writes, so that we can believe and have life in Jesus' name. We do come back to the question a few times, though. And the first time we come back to it is in chapter 6. So I'm going to have the second reading is from John chapter 6. This is verses 22 to 27. And this is just after Jesus has fed the 5,000 and walked on the water. And there is a crowd who follows after Jesus. A crowd who are looking for him, who are seeking him. But why are they looking for him? So this is John chapter 6,
22 to 27. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boat and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval."
So we have a crowd enthusiastically looking for Jesus, following after him. And they come and they ask him their question, "When did you get here?" But Jesus doesn't really answer that question. Instead,
what he replies here
is actually an answer to his earlier big question, in a way. That earlier big question, what are you looking for? And in the case of this crowd, what he says is that this crowd is fixated on their desire for
food that spoils.
They're not looking for anything more than that. They're not interested in what Jesus really wants to give them, which he calls food that endures to eternal life.
And the word there for endures,
it's the same word again, it's staying, abiding word. Where are you staying in that question? Food that endures, food that lasts to eternal life. When Jesus fed the 5,000, they were just happy because it satisfied their immediate hunger. There was no sense that this miraculous sign was pointing to who Jesus was, because that's the way John writes. That's the way John's telling us. All of these signs are supposed to point us to who Jesus is and to the gift of life that he wants to give them, that he's able to give them. But they had no real hunger or desire for that deeper life that Jesus gives. That's what Jesus says here.
Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you.
Do we have that deeper desire, or are we just content with what Jesus can give us day to day? What do we want? What are we looking for? Food that spoils, or something much deeper that Jesus is ready to give us? The world around us is always offering us food that spoils. Think about it. Think about advertising. You've got multinational companies trying to manipulate us into wanting or seeking various kinds of different things, various different kinds of food that spoils. Sometimes it is real food. You know, this is junk food, isn't it? Plenty of adverts for delicious-looking junk food. Food that spoils. But if you think about any advertising, what is it telling us that we want? What is it trying to make us want? Is it food that spoils? Usually it boils down to either money, sex, or power when we think about it. Something temporary, food that spoils. That's what the crowd wants here. The crowd wants food that spoils. And that's what they want from Jesus. Are we different from that? Are we disciples? If we're Christians, then what is it we want from Jesus? Food that spoils, or food that lusts for eternal life? And as you go through John's Gospel, you see people want different things from Jesus. Some want to follow him because they're becoming disciples. They're coming to believe in him, being drawn into the life that Jesus has to offer. And others, like this crowd, they're after something much more temporary. It's also worth mentioning some other people that we meet. Jesus' enemies. These are the people whose power was threatened by Jesus, who saw Jesus as an obstacle to what they wanted. He was getting in the way of what they were looking for. Their power. This is mainly the Jewish leaders. And if you think about that word for looking for, seeking, when we look through this gospel, looking for Jesus, those words, looking for Jesus, seeking Jesus, most frequently, this word for seeking is about the authorities who were seeking to kill him, trying to seize him and get rid of him. And this comes to a bit of a climax towards the end, obviously, but it builds up right through. I'm just going to look at one fascinating little passage where this comes up again. This is
John chapter 18,
verses 1 to 8, where Jesus is arrested.
So John 18, verses 1 to 8. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you're looking for me, then let these men go." So twice here, Jesus recalls his earlier question. Only this time, it's not what is it you want, it's who is it you want. And three times Jesus says those words, "I am." In the Greek, it's ego eimi. I am. It's translated here, "I am he." But these are words that speak of his divine authority, the way they're used. And we see this wonderful dramatic playing out of that truth that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We sang those words earlier, didn't we? Every knee shall bow. And it's not exactly because everyone will be forced to bow down before him. Jesus, I don't think that God in Jesus Christ acts in that way. It is because before this authority, the authority of the I Am himself, they can't help but fall to the ground. Who is it you are looking for? And why? So that's a dramatic scene. That's dramatic enough. But I think the final time that Jesus recalls this question is possibly the most dramatic and emotional moments in the whole Bible, I think. It often gives me goosebumps when I read it. Let's
read it.
This is John chapter 20, verses 11 to 16. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary sees the risen Jesus. But in her grief, she doesn't realize that it is Jesus. And there are two questions from Jesus. And it's interesting, the two questions, they still don't quite let her realize who it is. It's not until he calls out her name. First question, "Woman, why are you crying?" And the second one, "Who is it you want? Who is it you are looking for?" The same question that he asked the people sent to arrest him. That big question. The big question that he first asked those first disciples, "What is it you're looking for?" That question crashes together with an even bigger question. The question that's right at the center of the whole of John's Gospel, which is, who is Jesus? That's the really big question throughout John's Gospel. Who is this man? Who is Jesus? And the what question becomes a who question. Who is it people are looking for in Jesus? back in chapter 6.
What the crowd were looking for was food that spoils rather than food that endures to eternal life that Jesus wanted to give. But later on in that chapter, verse 51, it comes out that the food that Jesus had to give was actually himself,
his own flesh. So he says, he said already, hasn't he said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. But then he later says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. That's what he gives.
His own flesh, his own self. Jesus is pointing towards his crucifixion as the crucial point at which he will give this food that endures for eternal life. So, what are we looking for? Who are we looking for? What do we really want? That's the big question, the first big question. And it's one thing to know the correct answer, to know what the answer should be. And obviously, what is it we're looking for? What is it we're seeking? One place we might look is Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Seek God's kingdom. Seek God himself. It should be Jesus himself that we want. It should be the food that he gives that lasts for eternal life. But Jesus' question, actually, when you think about it, it's a searching and very personal one. It's not about giving the right answer. You have to learn that answer. It demands an honest answer, and we need to learn from Jesus, learn who he is. He asks us what we're looking for. And as we follow him and see more clearly who he is, we will learn to seek the kingdom first. We will change. We'll come to desire Jesus. We open the service with words from the start of Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 4, where it says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is what a pure desire for Jesus looks like. Once we've laid aside whatever other things we want, whatever idols we have, whatever else is getting in the way. Remember a few weeks ago, I think it was in May, James Goodman came and spoke to us about this verse, didn't he? James Goodman was here in May, and he was talking about this one thing that we seek. And he was asking that question, what is my one thing? What's the one thing that we seek? It's interesting that those first disciples, when Jesus asked this question, what are you seeking? Actually, what they want is to go and see where Jesus is staying, and to go and be there with him, and go and dwell there with him. They want to abide with him, dwell with him there. You can see that how that's in line with this verse here. One thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you'll see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. So I just want to give each of us some space to think about that question for ourselves, and to Jesus' question to each of us. I'm going to play a song in the background. It's a song that's based on Psalm 27. But this is just a few minutes now of time to focus on Jesus and what your answer might be to his, as he asks this question of you. What
is it you want? What are you looking for?
What do you want? I've given out, you've got post-it notes, you've got pens. There are maybe, if you haven't, you can get one, but this is optional. You could use your time, you could use those, you could write on your post-it notes. How would you respond to that question of Jesus? What is it you want? What is it you're looking for? And maybe your answer just for now is, I don't know. But maybe just write one or two words of what your response would be. You can leave some space. No one's going to look at this. We're not going to do anything with these post-it notes. You're free to take them home. You could keep it with you privately, put it in your Bible, come back to it, reconsider, add to it if you want to. But just spend a few moments now. Use the time to consider. Nobody's going to look for what you write. Take it away with you. Keep considering it. Jesus asks you, what do you want? So let's sit quietly and consider now. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.